This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
If there's one man who knows how to wallow in jagoffedry, jagoff votes, it's Trip columnist Rob Rossi.
Can't we get him alternate music for the different days that he's on? Shouldn't the West Virginia one be relegated to like either Mondays or Fridays in advance of or after West Virginia games, and like Wednesday give him Darkness on the Edge of Town or something like that?
Actually, if you're going to use Darkness, you'd probably want to wait till Monday after West Virginia games.
Or in this case, Friday after TCU.
Yeah, yeah.
So couch on is March burning on the edge of town. Yeah.
On March 4th this year, Rob won a Jagoff of the Week award for Penn's negativity and perceived bitterness towards the franchise.
But I've been right.
You've been mostly right.
All right.
Well, they've been winning here lately, but let's hold off on that for a moment. Let's get to the Tim Benn spoiler tweet that's getting him votes.
I got
hours after the end of The Walking Dead, all for the sake of a Bo Bennett joke. He dropped the name of a character who got whacked, Rossi. Does he deserve to get the heat that he's getting here today?
No, this is stupid. Okay? And the people that are voting for him are stupid, all right? The people that are voting for Tim are jagoffs for thinking that you live in a world where we're all not connected to magic machines that tell us things we don't want to know, all right? Grow up, get with the times, get off Twitter. If you don't want to know something, stay away from the computer. Or here's a thing, watch the damn show at the time it's on.
Or don't risk finding out the answer and blame the person that gives you the answer.
I can't believe you spoiled the ending of the Super Bowl for me. I mean, I was going to watch it Monday.
Ken, it's not like what I did was I went to go see Gone Girl and then went chapter and verse about the twist at the end. You know, it's not like before an opening weekend.
You know, I saw Gone Girl on a date, and I wish somebody had done that for me.
I wish somebody would explain the ending to me because I still
The twist that happens.
The part where the Doogie Howser gets...
Mm-hmm.
Undoogied?
No, terrible.
Like, I didn't need to know that.
So there's a spoiler,
that's,
Ken. There's another one. There's
and
Rossi.
That's not something you watch on a date. Like, that's like, whoa, like, no. Nothing after this.
Okay, a date is one thing. Try bringing your wife.
Well, that's true.
Okay, but this is a show with a spoiler, which is hours after it happened. And, there is a little grace period.
But again,
there's
Ken.
There's no grace period. There's no grace period.
I don't watch the show. How did I find out?
I'm going to make it a point to find out things before they happen and tweet them like hours before the show, just to anger these people,
like WWE fans.
Yeah.
If you're the television editor, you can see the stuff in advance.
No. Plus, Tim's in the breaking news business. We're all reporters. We should feel obligated to break this stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's like a thing within the wrestling community, right? If people find out, that was like a big thing. Where's LeBar? LeBar, we need LeBar on this. That's like a.
I mean, you know, they know the endings, Tim.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because it's scripted.
Yeah.
There was one site that was constantly getting everything right. Do you remember this? It was about a year ago.
I don't remember.
And everybody, like, they were predicting everything that was going to happen. And the WWE was really put off because they felt like this was ruining.
They weren't really predicting then. They were just taking the information and.
But they're presenting it as if it was predictions.
Yeah.
And the WWE got bent out of shape and they're trying to figure out who it was that was leaking the information.
It was like working for DraftKings.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, kind of.
Or well Fox
done,
Sports.
Guy. Well done.
Which we're talking about a lot about the Fox TV and the coverage last night. Rossi's getting a lot of heat today as well.
Why are they getting heat? I don't know why they're getting heat. Are they getting heat because they didn't reveal that his dad died?
Well, the sanctimonious
when they
praising.
Did
when they did it,
they
were, you know, Joe Buck pulled a rotator cuff, patting himself on the back.
Wow.
Ken Rosenthal with his dippy bow tie.
I respect their decision not to. I didn't watch the game last night, but I respect the decision not to release that information, knowing that pitchers usually go into the dugout and watch the game, and that would have been the broadcast he was watching, and the family didn't want him to know. But if they patted themselves on the back, that's not a good sign.
Like, how would the Trib handle that if they knew about a birth or a death before the family or person wanted it revealed? Well, this was a Carey Price issue. His wife was upset about that in Montreal, about the birth of their
I think it's a different
pregnancy.
Medium.
Yeah, if you've got the info, it's going in the paper.
Yeah, but it's a different medium. I mean, you got to remember, we might hold it off online, you know?
That's why, for example, the bus accident in Oakland the other day, they don't reveal, the police or the authorities don't reveal the names until next of kin can be notified.
Yeah.
But once you get the information, I see no obligation to hold it back.
I think you
asked, other than the way last night went.
I think you asked the question of what is the news value of this, and
if we get into the news value of it, it's pretty.
The starting pitcher of Game One of the World Series dies.
But I mean, the news value of. I don't know when did he know? When did they know?
That's the point of debate.
No one seems to know. ESPN said he found out on the way to the ballpark, which if that were the case, there was no reason to hold it back.
And the AP.
And I think that's why Buck is patting himself on the back, because ESPN ran with it and they didn't.
Well.
And now they're backing off because Fox looks good and Fox looks, you know.
Well, I mean, would ESPN have gone with that information in the same situation? If they were broadcasting the game?
I think ESPN probably would have done what Fox did, which was if the league and the team asked them to not do something, they wouldn't have done it.
I think in a situation where if this happened before the game, I'm talking, you know, 2 or 3 hours before the game, and his family did not want him to know, because at this point he's prepared for the game. This is a big moment in his life. For all we know, this might have been the father's dream too. I don't think we have an obligation to say that the news value during the game is us telling him that. I think it's a matter of time of when you knew. And, you know, I just – at some point we have to be humans as much as you are reporters. And, look, I'm not exactly the world's most empathetic guy. But I would not want to find out from a reporter. I have been the guy who broke news of trades to reporters. Like, I've called them and said, you've been traded.
The players, I mean.
The players. And they're like, what are you talking about? And you know, part of that's my job. But this is the death of a father or a parent.
Yeah.
This is different. Because here's the thing. I think if he doesn't know, then you risk putting yourself into the story by potentially he sees that in the third inning. He's not aware of this. Yeah, then you put yourself into the story, and that's something we all try to avoid.
But then you're also not giving part of the story to the viewers when the information has been made readily available, like we said on Twitter. Everybody on Twitter knew,
but,
because
I mean, he might not have known, and I think that's what, if you're Fox, I'm not talking any other outlet. If you're broadcasting the game, I could see why you would say, you know, we're not going to let him find out from. Yeah. The broadcast, because that's what he's paying attention to.
Like we said earlier, though, Tim, then you come on and you say, hey, we knew this before, but we didn't want to, we didn't reveal it because we wanted to make sure Edison knew it first.
That's
all you got to do, not sit there and act like, you know, my father invented TV and I got my job because of him.
What, do you think he was acting?
the other thing that you brought up, though, about the whole next of kin thing when there's a car accident or what, that's pretty selective, too. I mean, anybody wait to see if Roethlisberger's mom or dad got a phone call before
Did anybody wait to see if Princess Diana's kids knew before?
Cam Newton?
I mean, we found out, you know. No, I think celebrity trumps everything, you know. I mean, it's, I don't know what the right, Look, the truth is.
Hey, even, I mean, you can debate the, you know, victims of sexual crimes don't get revealed, but you can accuse someone of committing one and their name gets revealed.
Yeah. Right. Well, we live in a world that has changed dramatically in terms of what does and doesn't get out, and it's not going to ever go back to the way where the decisions are made for anything other than own self-interests.
Hmm. Yeah.
Rob Rossi, your guest, trip columnist.
So if Obama had polio, you think the country would know all about it immediately?
Well, certainly immediately, yes. I think there'd be some people that don't believe he has polio, and some people that believe he has polio, and a bunch of people that believe this is an act committed by Obama to get sympathy, and other people this is him trying to.
Well, that's like what you said before, guy. At the end of Pride of the Yankees, polio is what killed Lou Gehrig.
Do you remember what was the guy? You might. You guys all might remember this.
I hate how you do that, Rob. Anytime you're going to talk about something really old, you might remember.
No, okay. No, I remember hearing
that. I have noticed that.
There were three topics we were supposed to not talk about. What was it? Like at the dinner table, religion,
politics,
and sex, right? I think that was like the three things you weren't supposed to talk about, right?
Yeah.
I think sports should be in that now. Because the divide between the way you look at people, the way they have opinions on sports now, it's very much the same way Fox, MSNBC, CNN, and like Al Jazeera cover. Yeah. You know, like it's like you just got like, okay, I don't actually know what the middle is because it's just like the four corners of, you know, hell in terms of the way politics is covered. I think sports is the same way now. So
the one thing that Twitter's done.
What's left to talk about if you think?
Twitter, Facebook, social media, all that stuff, what it has done more than anything else
is... The Walking Dead. Yeah. You talk about The Walking Dead.
Globalize us and yet seclude us
yeah.
at the same time. It's amazing. I think that's... When it comes to cultural phenomenons in the electronic age, that to me is the most interesting thing. How we've become so globally aware, but so ensconced within our own comfort zone at the same time.
Somebody said to me a couple weeks ago... when the Penguins were 0-3, they said, you were either in two camps, right? You either
yes.
believed everything that they were going to do or you didn't believe in anything that they were going to do. And I said, I don't know anybody who was rationally in that camp. And he said, well, this person said to me, well, you were in the you don't believe in anything. I said, I wrote that it was a great acquisition to get Kessel. I wrote that the general manager had a really good offseason. I didn't like one movie made off in the offseason. I didn't like getting Cullen because I wanted them to have an opportunity to have younger guys make the team. I said, I don't like the overall direction of the franchise. I think they lack structure from the very top of the organization throughout, but I thought the GM had a good season. I said, I thought the coach was doing a good job at the end of last year. Now my opinion's changed. Like, I don't know anybody that was in one camp, but people think that. People think you're either in one camp or not, or the other. It's maddening to me because it's like we're not allowed to have nuanced thought. And we're not allowed to have, I don't know if you guys find this, we're not allowed to have changing opinions anymore.
Right.
We can't take the facts as they were presented to
you. You said
later.
Last April.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
A lot of things have changed since then.
You know, you said Landry Jones was going to be a better fit for Vic. Well, they lost. Well, you know, I mean.
I'm not allowed to think that Jay Happ turned out to be a good acquisition. Yeah. You know, because all of us clearly were throwing a parade down freaking General Robinson when Jay Happ came on board.
I gave him an A.
Oh, for God's sakes. That's such a stupid thing for me to say. Why did I even go down that path?
See, I would vote for you for Jagoff of the Week for chiming in there, Ken.
But I did vote a letter grade for the...
I did, too. I gave them a
good... Give guys credit who were right, you know?
Look, I almost wrote a column last week.
I
didn't write a column last week because something else came up. I forget what else came up. But I was going to write a column last week saying that, you know, the Pirates, what should really bother them about watching this postseason is that all the teams that sort of were in the final round or in the final four had done something the Pirates hadn't, which is basically double down and say, okay, we're going for it. You know, and the Pirates haven't done that yet. They haven't at some point said, we're just going for it. And yet, I praised them at the deadline. So, like, you know, it's not that my opinion's changed as much as it's, I'm advancing it. I hate people. I hate Twitter. I hate the people on Twitter. I mean, I have more contempt for my audience than any man should.
Well, before I let you go, Rob, Penguins are in action. Their first Metropolitan game tonight. What's the state of Penguins Capitals tonight compared to what we have
like I said yesterday? The they've won 4 out of 5, and it doesn't seem like it.
Oh no! I in a weird way, I think the Penguins could win these next two games, similar to the way they won in Nashville, and you'd have no reason to feel good about the team going forward. And then, in a weird way, I think they could lose both of these games, but lose them looking like the Penguins we think they should be, and you'd feel better. You know, I wrote today at the trip that they're a lifeless, joyless bunch who has looked a lot worse in their record. If you go back and look at the statistics, they actually match what your eyes have seen, which is not that Fleury made the losses competitive. He made the wins against mediocre teams for the most part possible, except for Nashville. They're a pretty good hockey team. I think these are a big two games for the Penguins for this reason. They were terrible against the division last year. They need to show right away that these division teams haven't figured out this system to make it easy to beat them, which I think might be the case. So also, you're playing Alex Ovechkin and Brooks Orpik, okay? And you're playing Dan Bylsma the night after. If you can't look like you care or you're interested for 60 minutes, then the troubling signs are trouble. And I don't see how, if they look lifeless in these two games, even if they win, you know, if they get 2 points but lose in overtime or not, I don't see how you feel comfortable going on a four-game road trip without having some sort of change. Do you? And I'm not saying it's completely the coach's fault, but that's the easiest thing to do. But clearly 10 games in, if they keep looking like this, that's enough for me to go, look, this is a problem.
Yeah, it's 10% of your season. It's a good chunk in.
Oh, no, as I said to Ken before, we haven't really had them trying to move up the ladder. Last year they were hanging on, trying to get points in February and March with three-point games now in past teams. You know, Columbus may be out of the playoffs already.
Yeah.
Because of what
and
happened.
And the Penguins would be without Fleury. You know, here's the thing, Tim. I think you probably agree with this more than anybody here, but maybe I'm wrong. I am starting to think what's broke about the Penguins cannot be fixed without dropping a bomb into the middle of that organization and blowing all the parts.
Well, I think they are so reliant on their two stars for production that when the production goes bad with the two stars, it infects everything else.
Well, but...
I don't think that they're either one of them are inherent leaders that's going to grab anybody else by the shirt collar.
But I don't know who the leader is in that organization. I really don't.
They need a guy like a Tocchet, a Trottier, a Kevin Stevens, someone like that that has fire in his gut every single day.
I respectfully disagree for this reason. They've brought in guys to do that, and this group has tuned them out. They brought in Ginla to be that guy, and they basically said, you know your role and shut your mouth. That's basically what they told the guy who was at the time he came here probably the most respected warrior type player.
How much of that was his fault though for allowing that to happen?
I don't think it was. No? I mean, look, I knew that team pretty well. I mean,
Bill Guerin didn't allow it to
Crosby,
happen.
Crosby, Malkin, and them. Well, they were younger then, and they hadn't been empowered then.
Yeah,
they hadn't been empowered then. Remember? That was a different Penguin group. That group was different. This group has a lot of guys that, you know what? I don't think it's a bad room, but it's a very protective room. They have a view of when you come into our group, you're going to behave the way we want you to behave, okay? That there's like a Penguin way, even though the Penguin way since Guerin and Gonchar were done has been failure in terms of what you expect. I'll say this. I don't know that even a different coach, okay? Like, I think right now the perfect coach for this team might be the Mike Therrien that exists in Montreal, who's capable of being a hard ass, but also knows how to deal with star players better, okay? I don't know if it's a matter of the coach or that presence in the room. I think we have seen an erosion of character, accountability, and structure in this organization since they moved into Console Energy Center, and I think we are now just seeing the end results of it. It has been it hasn't been one big thing. It has been this little erosion every year, this erosion that's taken place, and now we've gone, oh, look, the hole is rusted, okay? And we're going to try to patch up the bridge here, right? But you can't, because you need to blow up the bridge, and you need to build a new bridge.
Well, can I throw this theory past you, Rob? New players this year, Kessel, Plotnikov, Bonino, Sprong, Cullen, Fair will be back. That's six forwards. When Fair's back, that's half your line combinations. Do they deserve more time to gel than 10% of the year?
No.
Why not? That's a pretty big change. That is a big turnover. Are we holding them to too high of a standard to be excellent out of the gate when they're very new?
No, set the standard. They did. They set the standard. They fired guys that had won and said they weren't good enough. We're going to go out and do better. Okay? This isn't about who they fired. They set that standard. They came right out and said it wasn't good enough to get to the playoffs every year, to win divisions, to be a top seed, to have great regular seasons. We have to do that and win the Stanley Cup.
Okay, well, we're only 10 games in, eight games in. I mean,
Ken, they are a lost franchise. No.
They just beat Nashville on Saturday. No, it's a good team.
No, they did not beat
They're
Nashville.
They're surviving.
They did not,
They're not
beat
lost.
Nashville on Friday. Marc-Andre Fleury bailed a woeful offensive hockey team out, and Evgeny Malkin was not called for a penalty, okay? Two of their wins had come in a format that won't exist in the postseason if they're fortunate enough to make it. Their captain has gone 37 of the last 85 games without a point, okay? They are a bottom 20 team in power play and offense over their last 60 games played under this coaching staff with this management. Nobody knows who's calling the shots. Nobody's accountable to anything. They are a meandering, wandering joke of a hockey franchise compared to what they were, which was a standard-setting contender. Okay? If anybody thinks this is just a bad eight games, they have not been looking at the past 2 years, the last of the Shiro Bylsma era and this past one. Okay? This has been an erosion, a regression to a team that is closer, as I've stated repeatedly, to missing the playoffs and being a lottery team than they are winning a Stanley Cup. I will say this now. You can play this, Josh, whenever you want. They will not win another Stanley Cup with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. One of those guys has to go. This is broken. The only way to fix it is to execute the whole thing and start anew.
And they're going to have to sell the team before that happens.
Because and who's going to want to buy this? Who's going to want to buy this?
Is that Morehouse buzzing here?
Meandering's a great word.
They are hollow. That's the best word I can apply to the Penguins. They've become a hollow organization. Nothing's wrong. Everything's okay. There's no fire. But the building's not as full as it used to be. They can't sell the team they said they were going to sell. The Stars aren't scoring anymore. Nobody likes the way they look. The only guy who is a bone of stability in his body is the one they sent to the psychologist, Marc-Andre Fleury. That's the great irony of what this franchise has become.
Who was the psychologist? Maybe the psychologist should get a hold of Sid and Gino.
I'd like to see the person that tries to get a psychologist to get Sid.
That'd be
a well-paid psychologist.
How is that for a rant to get him a couple Jagoff votes from the Penguins faith?
I think I just did you a favor, Tim.
Johnstown's at home against Hyannisport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
Here's another spoiler. The Penguins get swept by the Bruins at the end. I don't want to give it away. This might be a little too soon.
Hey, guys, they win Game 7 at Detroit.
It's good to know. Right. Good. Let me guess. Jordan Staal is the star, right? Hey, by the way, he has yet to get a point. Yeah. Jordan Staal is...
They're so bad that they've screwed up Staal, and he's miles away.
Going into yesterday, Staal was pointless in eight games.
Jim Rutherford's wrecked two franchises.
Anaheim's ridiculous too. Have you looked at Anaheim, Rob?
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
I'd like Bruce Boudreau here, though.
Oh God.
I think he'd just say go score, boys.
For a short period of time.
Yeah. Well, look, this is all a short period of time.
Well, that's true. For every coach in that league, is a short period of time.
We select a new Jagoff of the week, and maybe Rossi will get some votes, but actually
that would be the latest charge. That'd be the latest charge ever because it would be condensed. It just happened from 11:30 to noon, so he would have to overcome everybody who's had time to marinate and stir and for us to discuss and so forth.
It would be. We've had a few of those. Who was the...
Like a mid-game entry, you know?
We had... Oh, Sean Rodriguez had a late charge two weeks ago.
This
for
is
the
like
Gatorade cooler.
Andre Iguodala entering the game for the Golden State Warriors. Oh, by the way, you know, I forgot to mention this. I can't believe I blew this one off. For all my ripping of the Pirates for trying to use the Golden State Warriors substitution patterns, did you know they fired their whole training staff?
Golden State?
Yes.
No.
Oh, God.
Their whole training staff was fired.
Did Huntington hire them all?
Back in September. The whole staff. Well, first of all, how do you fire anybody after you win a championship, Rob? How do you fire anybody after you win a championship? And
that's harsh.
After another playoff team tries to emulate you so publicly. That's funny.
We select the Jagoff of the week. We've got pages of emails. We'll get it through. The Four Horsemen Hour is next, brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza. Josh Taylor joins us. Tim Benz, Sky Junker, Ken Laird. We're all brought to you by Duffy's Beer on the Trib Live Radio Morning Show on Curry Hollow Road and online at duffysbeer.com. Give them a call at 412-653-BEER. Duffy's Beer, and it's Trib Live Radio.
Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, located on 6th Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Fast and free delivery. Give them a call at 412-281-7060. Lunch specials starting at just $7.49 with selections including small grilled chicken salad, a bowl of soup, two cuts of pizza and a small garden salad, penne pasta, garlic bread, and a small salad. Half a hoagie and french fries, or half a hoagie and a can of pop. That's 412-281-7060. You can even order online. Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta in downtown Pittsburgh and online at ilovegiovannis.com.